I want you to come with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to open it up at verse 7. St. Paul is writing to the Ephesians to awaken them to some things that need to be understood. And what he's done is he's given us an awakening of what the purposes of the church is for. Verse 7 says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. In other words, it's not something he decided on his own. Given me through the working of his power. Notice again, it's not a personal power. It's the power of God. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, or the Anointed One, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God. In case you forgot, God may have a few other areas that he's hidden from his creation, because we may not be ready. So there are revelations that come to each level of revelation that he downloads to his creation, his church, and it is for an ultimate purpose, which you will hear about in a minute. This mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things, his intent. Watch again, verse 10 is very important. His intent was that now, through the church, you declared a few minutes ago to this region, you are the church. Amen?
Amen.
The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Again, think about what you declared. Two pages full of declarations. All right? And it was to have the heavenly realm hear this word in a corporate setting. Verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with the freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. You say, ouch, why suffering?
Ask you.
Yeah. The reality is, Paul is going through something that he doesn't explain, but he is giving you an example. All right? He's giving me an example. There are seasons of suffering in the body of Christ, and seasons of testing, emotional, physical, whatever they may be. They're real. Okay? 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Sometimes the emotions are not going to match. It is through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So the intention of God is to download himself in his creation, you and I. Now to him be who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work on the neighbor.
In us.
Oh, well, everybody wants the neighbor to be blessed. Yeah, but it doesn't say that. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. As I was pressed to go there this afternoon, I'm trying to download into my own heart his ultimate purpose. And it is to announce to the neighbors in the heavenly realms that they're not in charge. The Lord left the church in charge. Religion is the opposite of the real church. When you think about it, if you are part of a religious system, they use fear tactics and guilt tactics to keep people in line. And many of them are not exactly godly people. They may have a title, but that doesn't mean that their fruits are good. I was listening to Jeremiah Johnson last night. He was on Daystar, and he's written a book. And his book is about two churches in the earth. Yeah. One is full of God's light and life and authority. The other is filled with religion. And they accept anyone and everyone, and they don't have any more sin involved. They've kind of taken all the sin out of the Bible and won't talk about the wrong lifestyles, the wrong way of acting and reacting by men and women or both. And as I was reading this, I was reminded, there are times that you and I look at people's behavior. And I'm not judging them, I'm not criticizing them, that's not my job. But I've had people who have a lifestyle that is ungodly, and the Holy Spirit would say, give them grace, guide them to healthy relationships, and don't throw them away. Don't insult them, that's not your job. Your job is to love them back into health. And as you pour a love into them, they will have a choice. And they will go forward in their choice because their free will is no different than yours. God gave you and I free will. If they choose a particular lifestyle, that's their problem. But you don't have to agree with them. You can give them God's opinion, not necessarily your opinion. And I'm making that clear. Because we have many people who say, well, the church doesn't care. Yes, the Lord does care. And the church does care. They're not looking for perfection. They're looking for the people that are broken to be perfected. There's a big difference. When you love someone that's broken, they have a chance to come back to life. And even if their life was upside down, that doesn't mean that it has to remain there. If they were in a lifestyle that's not that great, pray and intercede for them until the fullness of Christ is formed in them. And that might take a long time. Because I've seen people who have struggled for a long time, but you don't give up on them. Love them back to health. So if you'll put your right hand over your heart, say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
I'm seeing St. Paul.
I'm seeing St. Paul.
Being full of life.
Being full of life.
Even in his struggle.
Even in his struggle.
He still wrote this letter.
He still wrote this letter.
For us in New England. So that we can become. The active church. To declare. To the heavenly realms. That God has given us this authority. And this region is to be. What God has ordained it to be. Holy. And free of all darkness. Because we're welcoming the angels of light. Let them come now. And minister salvation to the region. Especially to the leaders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Any additions? Well, you guys on the other parts of the country, how's that? Or other parts of the north? Is there any additions that you guys have?
No.
Everything's fine.
John?
Everything's fine. No additions.
No additions. All right. A big, big hug, you guys, to the city of, they're in Portland, right? Portland. Big hug. You Canadians, love you.
Love you.
Even the ones that live in Munson, we love you too.
What did you say?
Well, that's good.
May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel take you home safely as you continue to bless your area, your families, and each one keep the intercession going for each other. I also ask that you would keep Linda Caban in your prayer and her son and family, because I know that the struggle is ongoing. Amen?
Amen.
So share some hugs with each other.
Want to drink some wine? Charlie, Peggy, would you like to drink some wine?
A little bit. We'll have that on record.